I'm sure you know by now, but weather has a life of its own. If you live close to the lake, you know there is not a darn thing you can do to stop that thunderstorm coming off the lake and blowing in, dropping rain on your house. And as I have learned this past winter, no matter how much you tell the snow to stop falling, it doesn't listen. It is the darndest thing that we should get 60 inches of snow by New Year's Day. It's unpredictable, it's uncontrollable, it has a life of its own, and there isn't a darn thing in the world you can do to stop it. You really can only weather the storm, whether it be sun or rain or moon or snow. But this idea about having a life of its own is exactly what our parable this morning, taken from Mark, is all about. The kingdom of God is compared to a seed that a man plants into the ground, and night and day he sleeps, he wakens, he rises, he goes up and down, and the earth by itself produces the grain. In other words, the seed and the ground has a life of its own. The farmer just watches as first the ground by itself produces a blade. It produces a stalk. Then it produces a head on top of the stalk. And then in the head, it produces a full head of grain. And then, and only then, when the man sees the full ripe harvest ready, when he sees it, that is when he puts the sickle unto the crop. But this image of having life in and of itself is exactly like our weather, is it not? Uncontrollable, has a life of its own. And Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is exactly like them both. The kingdom of God has a life of its own. By itself, God produces the kingdom of God. First small as a seed. Then it progresses to make a plant. Then it produces more. It produces the head. Then it produces the fruit of that head. But the kingdom of God has a life of its own, and God produces the kingdom on its own. Like the weather, it's going to do what the kingdom of God is going to do. Like the earth and the seed, it is going to do what it is going to do. And at the end of the day, we are exactly like the farmer. I ain't got a clue how it's doing it. Well, that is really, really, really good news. Because that means that nobody, no power in hell, no scheme of any human being can ever stop God's kingdom. That means that there is no power, no influence, no principality, no force in this universe that can force the kingdom of God to stop growing and to stop progressing. If God is the one who gives to this kingdom a life of its own, then what power or force in our universe can threaten Almighty God? Can it stop the seed from being planted? Can it stop the progression to the blade? Can anything in this world stop God from putting a head on the plant and in the head from putting fruit in the plant? Is there any force in this universe that can threaten a God who can bring a man back from the dead? And so is there not great comfort for us when our world threatens the kingdom of God that we are ever mindful that the kingdom of God has a life of its own? No government can threaten that. No injury can threaten that. No war, no oppression, no force in this universe, no scheme of any corporation, no tyrant, no dictator can ever threaten the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God has a life of its own. So even when Caesar is hunting the church is reminded Caesar is no threat to God. Well, if the seed progresses to a plant, surely somebody is going to say, Mark, I can look at our country and our society, and it looks like we are not progressing. It, in fact, looks like we are regressing. It looks like the kingdom of God isn't growing and building. In fact, it looks like the kingdom of God is falling apart. I would venture a guess we could tell tales of what church was like 50 years ago, and today ain't like that. There was a time when there were laws where you couldn't do anything on Sunday except go to church, and you went to church all day from morning to night. You ate here, you studied here, you didn't have soccer games and baseball games. The world and the country was respectful of God. And then you look at today and you go, the kingdom of God ain't getting bigger. It's in fact getting smaller. But if our story is true, if the kingdom of God has a life of its own, life in the hands of God Almighty, then what is the problem? Well, I wonder if the problem is what we expect the kingdom of God to be like. There is only disappointment in our lives when we expect something and we don't get it. So what are we expecting from the kingdom of God that we aren't getting? And maybe the real question is that the kingdom of God? Or is it something else? Now, for the longest time, three things were important about measuring the success or the health of a congregation. They're known as the ABCs. How many people are attending worship? That's A. B, what does your building look like? How big is it? How well kept? How much money is put into the pipe organ and the carpet and the stained glass windows? And lastly, the C is for cash. How much money does the church have? Well, if we measure those three things, every church in our country is declining, because people ain't going to church. Roofs need fixed, and there's no money to fix them and to pay the Yahoo standing up in front of you. So it looks like the kingdom of God is falling apart and not getting better. But what if those things were never a part of the kingdom of God? The numbers, the property, and the cash. The kingdom of God was never meant to be those things. The kingdom of God is meant to be other things. And what if I could tell you, what if I could tell you stories about people who are afraid finding courage, courage to speak, courage to face their fears, and ultimately to be bold and courageous instead of hiding in the dark. If I were to tell you those stories, would any of you not give me that the kingdom of God has grown? If I could tell you stories of people who have been so guilt-ridden, so burdened by their fears and their failures that they physically made themselves ill, And yet, if I could tell you that those people found forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ, would any of you not agree that the kingdom of God has grown? If I could tell you stories about those people so angry with themselves and the world, and yet they found peace in the name of Jesus Christ, would you all not give me that the kingdom of God has grown? For all the people that are screwed by their society, oppressed in poverty, if they found freedom in the name of Jesus Christ, can you not give me that the kingdom of God has grown? And the haters who have started to love and accept one another, has the kingdom of God not grown then also? And yet none of them come to church. None of them have got a name on a stained glass window. Not a single one of them have put a dollar in the plate. And yet the kingdom of God has still grown, because the kingdom of God has got a life of its own. My friends, there was a time that the kingdom of God meant all of this. And if this is the kingdom of God, it's not progressing. But if the kingdom of God has got a life of its own, and the scared are finding courage, the guilt are finding forgiveness, the angry are finding peace, the haters are starting to love, the oppressed are finding freedom, then guess what? This ain't the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying this isn't important. This work isn't important. I am saying this work is far, far more important. And more importantly, that life has got a life of its own that no power in this world can threaten. Because it's God's kingdom, and whose kingdom is ever a threat to God's? My sister once had a Siberian husky that we had to walk every day. So when I was home from college, it was my chore to take the dog for a walk. Now, the favorite place for this dog to use the restroom was the neighbor's yard, because they had a dog. So we would go down there and use their yard, and they would come down to use our yard. But the difficulty is that the moment this dog used their yard, the dog wanted to run home. Now, if you know anything about huskies, they're really good at pulling people, like me holding on to the daggone leash. So we would walk down there nice and calm and friendly. She would use the yard, and then we would run back home. Now, she was taking me for the walk at that point, holding on to the leash, being yanked, going along and trying. You know, I'm a teenager, so I'm thinking I can keep up for a little bit until about halfway, and then she's just dragging me all the way back home. But the whole point of that is I was along for the ride. She was the one really taking the walk, and I was the one just along for the ride. My friends, if the kingdom of God has a life of its own, you are along for the ride. The comfort is you will reach the end of the journey, because the kingdom of God has got a life of its own, and you or no one else can screw that up. But if the kingdom of God has got a life of its own, then you are just along for the ride. You ain't the one driving. You ain't the one in control. You cannot force God to do what God would allow you to do. You are along for God's ride. Not just you can't screw it up, but it also means you can't hurry it up. Because the life of the kingdom has a life of its own. So, my friends, take great comfort that you will reach the end of the journey, even if this should